lack of communication about passing the offering. So we haven't passed the offering in a long time, but we are going to start doing that. So you can just be prepared. Instead of just the box or sending electronically, we will, Lord willing, try to have the ushers come around and you can put your offering in the offering bag. So we want to definitely move in that direction. Well, let's pray quickly and ask for the Lord's help. Lord, know that your word is precious. It is like a deep gold mine that we can just keep working away at, and we just keep finding treasure. And yet it seems like sometimes when we find treasure, it's hard for us to explain what we found, but just to say, glory. You know, that's the way I feel this morning. I see glory in these passages, but I feel very inadequate this morning on how to really communicate it in such a way that is a blessing to us and a help to us. So I ask that you would be a help to me, that I might be able to build up the church today. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, glory is a word that we hear a lot about in the Bible. We see the word glory all throughout the scriptures. Moses said to God in Exodus 33, one of the best prayers you could ever pray, please show me your glory. Psalm 19, the Psalms say, the heavens declare the glory of God, the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Psalm 57 says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. We are told in Psalm 96 to declare his glory among all the nations, his marvelous works among all of the peoples, the ethnic groups. When Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord's throne room, the angels were crying out in Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 42, verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Habakkuk chapter 2 says this, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Glory, what does it mean? It's a hard word to describe, actually. The Hebrew word for glory is kabod. It means heavy or weighty. Because if you had a lot of gold, you were heavy with gold, or you're heavy with livestock, or you're heavy with spices or houses and lands, you are obviously a person of value and worth. God is very heavy, as James just read. The Greek word for glory is doxa, where we get the word doxology. It means actually it means opinion. So if someone has a high opinion of you, then you have a lot of honor and a lot of fame. Glory. It'll be on the screen for you, Joel Beakey, a quote. He says this about glory. I thought it was a good definition. The word glory means the display of excellence and praiseworthiness. It is glory that's shown, as well as the response of honor and adoration to that display. Now, that's the way we use the word glory, right? We say glorify God. That's a response to seeing His glory. So we see the magnificence and brilliance and wonder of God, and our natural response is to give Him glory. Not giving Him something He doesn't have. It's just the correct response to what we see. Well, when the New Testament speaks of the glory of God, the New Testament points us to Jesus Christ, God the Son. John chapter 1, in his incarnation chapter, he says this, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know that, right? And then he says, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So when the Apostle John thinks of glory, he thinks of God the Son becoming a human being and being full of grace and truth. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us something about glory. The glory of God the Son says that He is the radiance of the glory of God. Think about that. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. I could say so many verses about the glory of Jesus Christ. But I think here today in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, we kind of have the crescendo, if you will, in the New Testament. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. I asked myself this week, why this phrase from the angels and why here? They could have said anything, right? But they say, glory to God in the highest. One of the things that I want to give us some introduction to today is some of the background of this passage, and then I'll get to exactly what the angels had to say. But if we look in the kind of the context and the cultural context, especially of this passage, what we'll see is that there are two people in this passage competing for glory. One seems to have all of the glory, and one seems to have none. Yet things are not as they appear. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Let me read it quickly again. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be registered. This was the first registration. Actually, it should say this was before the registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed. He was engaged, and she was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, what I want to do firstly is talk about what the angel said, and in doing so, I want to give you a little bit of the background to what's happening in this passage. The angel said to them, the angel singular said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." It's a declaration of the birth of a king. The only problem is there's already a king, and he's mentioned in verse 1. This angel's declaration is spoken in the Roman Empire, where there's already a person who is known as the King of Kings, an emperor, a king whose arrival brought good news. I'm talking about Caesar, a king who had a great army already, and a king who already proclaimed peace. Luke assumes that his Greek audience, written to a person named Theophilus, which means lover of God, knows exactly who Caesar Augustus is. I want to start there. Gaius Octavius was his real name. Caesar Augustus was the first emperor of Rome. He's mentioned in verse 1. You probably maybe just skipped over it, didn't even think about it. But he's a pretty big dude. The first emperor of the Roman Empire. He rules over all as a deity from Spain all the way into the Middle East and even the country of Israel to where this is happening. He ruled from 27 BC to 14 AD. So if you think about that, 27 BC to 14 AD, so Jesus is about 15 years old when he dies. So he's important. Augustus, by the way, is not his name. Augustus is a religious honorific title that he took upon himself as emperor. His empire is known for its glory, and he takes this name, which means majestic or worthy of honor. So think about that. In this story, we're talking about glory. Glory be to this poor peasant baby here in the backside of the Roman Empire. But overshadowing all of that is already one who rules in glory and has the whole empire at his disposal, and he is called majestic and worthy of honor. He's worshipped as a deity. Let me show you some of the literature where we see this. Augustus' birthday in 9 BC, right before Jesus is born, a letter from a guy called the proconsul, which is a governor, proconsul Paulus Fabius Maximus, engraved on a stone a letter that he wrote paying tribute to Augustus. See if this sounds familiar to you. It'll be on the screen. This is what he said. "Since Providence, which has ordered all things and is deeply interested in our life, has set in most perfect order by giving us Augustus, whom she, Providence, filled with virtue, that he might benefit humankind, sending him as a Savior, both for us and for our descendants, that he might end war and arrange all things, since he, Caesar, by his appearance, surpassing all previous benefactors, and not even leaving to posterity any hope of surpassing what he has done, and since the birthday of the god Augustus was the beginning of the good news for the world that came by reason of him." So don't think that this language of the Bible that we read about good news and saviors and lords is only for just the Bible. These things were already used to pertain to someone else. We must be careful not to remove our nice little Christmas story from the Greek audience into which Luke wrote his gospel. Augustus is worshipped as a deity, celebrated as good news to all the people. And these titles here that the angels announce, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Savior was used for the Caesar. A Savior who is Christ, an anointed one. And He is the Lord. Speaking straight into what would be betrayal to the Roman Empire. And one of the things that Augustus ushered into the Roman Empire was something what was called the Pax Romana. You ever heard of that before? The Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. He promised peace for the whole empire. And here we have a message from angels saying that someone else is going to bring peace. So into this historical context, Luke weaves a story of a different kind. Story of good news. It was declared and proclaimed not by a governor in Turkey, but by an angel from heaven. So what was this message this single angel declared? "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I want you to notice some words here. Good news. Great joy. For all people. Savior. Christ the Lord. This is a message of what we call the gospel. It's a different kind of good news. It's not the good news of Caesar Augustus, Octavian. It's good news of someone else has arrived who can actually fulfill all of those things. Good news, great joy for all people. A Savior has arrived, a Christ who is Lord. So striking to think about it, really on a human level, a baby born to some peasants. Not in Rome, but in a little village in just a small little place called Bethlehem. Not even in a hotel. Not even in a house. Maybe in the bottom of the house. This baby's birth, though, is miraculous. It's no ordinary baby. And Luke wants his readers that he's writing to understand this. This Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah that the Jewish people have been waiting for. He is Savior and Lord, and not Caesar. Listen, to believe this good news and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord could cause many people to experience a lot of trouble in the Roman Empire. And it did. And it can today to say, "Jesus is my only King." So this single angel makes a proclamation that's actually the proclamation of the gospel. Someone else has come in the face of a great empire and this great leader. Someone else has come, a new King who will really bring good news and great joy for all people, who is really the Savior, who is really the Christ, and is really the Lord. It's a gospel of Jesus Christ. There were many gospels, but this is the gospel of Jesus. So the first angel proclaims the gospel to the shepherds. Let's look, number two, at what the angels said. Not the one angel, but the angels in verses 13 and 14. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased." This is an innumerable number of angels. Heavenly host means army. It's literally a Greek word for an army. So Caesar has a great army. But here, God has an even greater army. I remembered in 2 Kings 19 that one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians in battle. One angel killed 185,000 people in battle. And here is a multitude of their number. But they've not come to fight. They've come to give praise and to give a message. The first angel gives a message of the gospel, and they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Why this phrase from the angels, and why here? Again, let's talk about the word glory. Here at the birth of Jesus, God the Son, God Himself, God the Son, just as much God as God the Father, becomes human flesh. We see glory, and they say glory, because if we want to see the glory of God, we look to Christ. And the angels are saying, here in Christ, God the Son, becoming man, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, here is glory. If you want to see God in His magnificence, His wisdom, His power, it's here in this moment. He has come to the earth to save people. Caesar may have his glory, but this glory is something altogether different. This passage, by the way, we should not read this passage like this: "Glory to God in the highest place." That's not what it says. What it says literally is glory to the highest degree to God. Gloria in excelsis Deo is the Latin. That's why I put it on as the title. But literally it says in Greek, glory to the highest degree to God, because He is doing this right now. Glory in the highest to God, it should read, and peace on earth to people He favors. Not to people who do good. Not peace to those who know how to do good, but literally peace to those whom God has done good to. You know, we can talk about a lot of things, but the truth is, we should never get tired of just talking about the glorious gospel of God. God deserves praise and glory in the highest for what He has done through Christ. I have nothing good to say but that. It's not about the shepherds. It's not about why they came and how they came and what does it mean for us in the world that there were shepherds there at the birth, or the wise men, or the star, or the stable. Was it made out of wood? Was it made out of stone, the manger? Why was there no place in the inn? All of that is just really speculation. But what we know for sure is that God deserves the highest praise and glory because he sent Christ. We should break into praise and adoration when we think about the incarnation. We should say glory to God in the highest for what he has done through Christ. Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. That's the correct response. So this first angel proclaims the good news. These angels proclaim that Jesus Christ deserves glory in the highest. God the Father deserves glory in the highest for sending Christ. Secondly, the angels proclaim a message of peace, not just glory. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. It should be read like this, peace on earth to people he favors. I think that's the point of the shepherds. God could have chosen anybody to be there. The angels could have proclaimed that message to people in the village, the shepherds in the palace, whatever. I think God is saying, I proclaim the message to whoever I choose. The Christian Standard Bible had a note, should be on the screen. There you go. Yeah, there, right there. Yeah. Said this, the people whom God favors are those who have found God's undeserved favor or grace through Christ. That's a great statement. That's the only thing good that we have to say. The people whom God favors are truly those who have found God's undeserved favor or grace through Christ. At the end of the day, when any of us stand before God, it won't matter about how good our theology was. It won't matter about all the things we've done in this world. It'll only matter is, did Christ die for your sins according to Scripture? That's all that will matter. A single army proclaimed the gospel. The heavenly army proclaimed the gospel, and they proclaimed peace. Peace. Peace is an interesting word. Why peace? Peace to whom God gives favor. Do you have peace? Do you have peace? Peace is the internal rest experienced when the grace of God is dispensed to us through the Holy Spirit. Peace is the internal rest that we experience when the grace of God is dispensed to us through the Holy Spirit. If you've lived long enough now, you understand that this world promises two things to you, glory and peace. The world promises that you can have glory. You can have glory in having a PhD, and having a great job, and being a tenured professor. You can have glory, and you can have wealth, and you can have a great family, and you can live in a wonderful place, have a great life, and do all the things that you've ever wanted. But this world's glory fades very quickly. In a world of corruption and decay, many of us, all of us, have tried in some way or another to find that glory that I think is part of, we desire glory, to experience glory because of who we are, made in the image of God. We want to experience glory, but we will never find glory in this world except we find it in God Himself. The world also promises peace, that you'll have peace, the Pax Romana or whatever we might call it today. There is no peace in this world except peace that you have through Christ. All glory belongs to God, and the peace comes through God Himself. You may have thought of some verses when we mention peace, like Romans 5:1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, and actually I think tonight we will hand out some cards for anybody who will take them and not afraid that they're going to get a disease. You know, we printed up these cards before we even knew what was going to happen with the protest or the pandemic. And I think God laid on my heart that verse for a reason. We printed up tons of them. And you know what verse is on those cards? Would have had no idea how much this verse was needed. John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. The hope that we have this Christmas, there is only one hope. The only hope is that this book is true. And what this book says is accurate. Try, if you want to find glory and to find peace in this world. You will not find it unless you find it in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, my message, our message to you is exactly this, that in the world you will have tribulation, but there is good news of great joy for anybody who believes. Jesus Christ, God the Son, became man. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross to receive the punishment and wrath of God for your sins that you have committed. Because He was innocent, God raised Him from the dead on the third day, and He's alive, and He's coming back to judge the world, and all of us will give an account to Him. And all who believe in Him will have eternal life, and have abundant life, and have peace. May you find that this Christmas. Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we look to You for all of the answers to all of our problems. And we say like the disciples, to whom shall we go? There's nowhere else to go. Because we have found that Jesus has the words of eternal life. Lord, I know that I've said a lot. So I pray that You will take anything that I have said that is of use to You, Your kingdom, the hearts of believers, anybody here, that You will produce fruit from it. Anything that I have said that has been of no use, has been not helpful, I pray that You will just allow it to be like the chaff, blown away. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus. Pray that we might live lives that truly give glory to You, Father. That our lives magnify Your worth. Even as we have peace in the midst of anything that might happen in this world. So empower us to live that out through the Holy Spirit. we pray in Christ's name. Amen.